Daf Zayin. So let's take it from the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara was talking about yesterday, Machlokes, about whether or not Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, which one is the Iker month for Laning Pur, Laning Megillah, and all the other mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, last two lines of Vav Amud Beis, the last word is Rebbe, that Rebbe Elazar Amar Taimed Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. The reason why, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, he's the one who said, you read it in the second month, Adar Sheni, Mehacha, from the following pasuk, Dichsiv Lekaimus, Igar Esapurm, Hazos, Hashenis, the second Hashenis refers to Adar Sheni. So now we have two different choices, because yesterday's daf we said Bechol Shana Vashana was the drasha. Now we're saying the word is Shenis. So which one is it? And so the Gemara answers, V'itzrich lemichtav Hashenis, V'itzrich lemichtav Bechol Shana Vashana. You need both them. Why? Because the mean Bechol Shana Vashana, how do you have that drasha alone? Have a mina kikushin. I would have thought like the question, meaning just like every single year, it's the first Adar, the Adar next to Shvat. So this year as well, I think it would be the first one next to Shvat. That's why you need Kamashman Hashenis. No, it's Adar Sheni. V'yashmin and Hashenis, had you had just the drash of Adar Sheni, Havamina, I would have thought b'tchila b'rishon u'b'sheni, you should read two times, read both an Adar Rishon and also Adar Sheni, kamash milan b'chol shana v'shana, that just like every single year you read only one time, so too even in an Iber Shana you read only one time. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yosi, hi Hashenis my Avilei, Rabbi Lazar, who says you read in the first month, what does he do with the word Hashenis? So the Gemara says, "Lichad Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, the Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, b'tchila kavau b'shushan, uvasof b'chol ha'olam kula." There are two stages, two steps to the takana of a Purim. First, they establish that Shushan should be celebrating Purim because they had the Ikar Nes, and then there's a Shenis. Then there's a second round of letters sent out that everywhere else in the world should also be celebrating Purim. And it's referring to the two layers of the takana, not referring to Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. So now the Gemara quotes another statement in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalach lehem Esther l'chachamim. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, and she asked them, Kivuni l'daros, please, let's have this story of Megillas Esther put in the Tanakh, so it should be remembered for generations. So Shalach lehem, they sent back to her, Kina at me'oreres aleinu lebeina umos. You're going to ignite this jealousy amongst the umos olam. They're going to be very upset at us. It's going to be called terrible Eva. Rashi says, "Sheyomru ha'umos she'anu smeichem lehazkir mefalasan." They're going to say the Jews are celebrating our downfall. That's going to be a terrible kina throughout the world. So she says back to them, "Shalchu lehem." She says back to the chachamim, "Kvar k'suvani al divrei yamim lemalchi madai pras." There's no escaping it. I already had put this in the chronicles of the nations of madai pras. It's already recorded. There's no escaping, avoiding it. It's already part of history. So once it's part of their history, let's put it part of our history as well. So the Achronim asked the question, so if that's the case, that they were hesitant to establish Yimei Purim and Megillas Esther because of the Eva amongst the Masa Olam, so why were they so comfortable celebrating the Yantiv of Chanukah? Chanukah also is a celebration of defeating the Yavanim. We don't find anywhere they're concerned with that idea. So Sifsei Chacham writes, no, there's a big difference, because Neres Chanukah itself was a celebration be'ikar the Zechar l'Nes. It wasn't a celebration of the victory. Yes, the victory was a part of it, but that wasn't the ikar celebration, and therefore they were not concerned that the Yantiv would turn into a whole fight. But Purim, where the ikar Nes was defeating Haman, Achashverosh, and all the enemies, so that way they were concerned it might create this Eva amongst the Umas Olam. So Gemara now says, around 10 lines down here, the Gemara says, Rav, Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, these four Amorim, Masnu, Bekulo, Seder Moed, Kol Kiai Zuga, in Seder Moed, this whole grouping of Chachamim, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, Ma Rabbi Yonasan. So when it comes to Seder Moed, it shouldn't be Rabbi Yochanan list, it should be Rabbi Yonasan on this list, when anything related to Seder Moed. Either way, this group of individuals, of Amorim, Shalchulhem Esther Lachacham. They said that Esther sent to the Chachamim, she started darshaning, she started negotiating based on Pesukim. She said, Kisfuni Ladaris, write my story, Megillah, it should be written as part of Tanakh, part of the Kisvei Kodesh. So Shalchulah, they said to her, we can't, halok is a different approach. It wasn't because of the Eva of the Umas Olam, but based on Pesukim. It says in Mishle, halok kasafti lacha shlishim, I already wrote three different times about Mechias Amalek, shlishim velo reveim. We'll see the three plays in just a second, but three times we're only allowed to mention Mechias Amalek, we can't mention it a fourth time. So the Gemara says further. So the Gemara says, one second here. Gemara says that ad shematzu la mikra kasa b'torah, until you find the pasuk in the Torah that's going to support your approach, we can't allow for it. So it says ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. It says in the end of Beshalach, when the referring to Yeshua and Mechias Amalek, ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. What does that mean? Ksov Zos is referring to Masha Kosov Khan, referring to Parshas Beshalach. Mishnah Torah, referring to what's written in the Chumash, it says Ksov Zos. That's one time. Even though it's mentioned two different times, that's called one mentioning. It's all in Chumash. Zikaro and Masha Kosov Benevim, and Besefer Masha Kosov Megillah. So this is a reference to there should be a Megillah Esther, there should be something in Ksuvim. One for Torah, one for Nevim, and one for Ksuvim. Elamai must be the Megillah Esther, should be part of Ksuvim. So the Gemara says it's really a Katanai, it's really a Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not it should be part of the Kisrei Kodesh. Ksov Zos, Masha Kosov Khan, referring to only Parshas Beshalach. Zikaron, Masha Kosov B'Mishnah Torah, that's a separate one. That which is mentioned in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kisete, that's viewed as a separate mention. And B'Sefer, Masha Kosov B'Nevim, Divri Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says there's two times in Torah and one time in Nevim. There's no space, there's no drasha for that which is written in Ksuvim. But Rabbi Elazar B'Hamodoy Omer, Ksov Zos, Masha Kosov Khan, B'Mishnah Torah. He lumps together what we saw earlier, that which is written in Beshalach and Kisete is all considered one mention in Chumash. Zikaron is referring to Masha Kosov B'Nevim, and B'Sefer is referring to Masha Kosov B'Megillah. So it's Machlokes tonight whether or not the Megillah Esther should be part of the 24 books of Kisrei Kodesh. So now the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Mashmul, another statement in his name, Esther Eina Metames Yadayim. Esther's not Metames Yadayim. The reason why? Because only the Kisrei Kodesh are Metames Yadayim, but that which is not Kisrei Kodesh is not subject to the lachas of a Tumas Yadayim based on the Sugya and Gemara and Shabbos Daf Yudalim. So according to Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, it must be that Megillas Esther is not Kisrei Kodesh, and for that reason, it's not Metames Yadayim. So the Maimer is this to suggest, Disavar Shmuel Esther Lav Beruach HaKodesh Nemra? Does that mean Shmuel holds that Esther, Megillas Esther was not written Beruach HaKodesh, it was just written by Esther and Mordechai, but there's no Beruach HaKodesh involved? But Vahamar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel himself admit that Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra? It was said in Ruach HaKodesh. So if it's said in Ruach HaKodesh, must it not be Kisrei Kodesh, and therefore it should be Metames Yadayim? So Gemara says no. It was Nemra Likros, v'lo Nemra Lichtov. Yes, the story of Megillas Esther was written in Ruach HaKodesh, but it was never given the right to be written as part of Kisrei Kodesh. It was given the right to be written so that we could read about it, but wasn't supposed to be part of the 24 books of Tanakh. And there's a difference there. So if you look at the Tosas on the top here, Tosas asks the question, Nemra Likros v'lo Lichtov, that was mentioned in Ruach HaKodesh, was said in Ruach HaKodesh, so that it should be read, but not that it should be written. So Tosas asks, Umashma the Savar the Mutter Lakosa Ape. That means you could recite the story of Megillas Esther Bape. You don't need the Ksiva, because the Ksiva isn't Ruach HaKodesh. But the Hakasha, the Hecha Pligal Stam Mishnah, how does Shmuel argue on a Stam Mishnah later on in Daf Yudzayim? The Tani Kara Ape Lo Yatsa. If you read Megillah Bape, it doesn't work. The Rav Nami Ha Huda Amar Lakamam Shitarach Lakosva Ulatofra Begidin. You need to write it, you need to sew it with the sinews. Rav Yochan Nami Amar Dim Kara Benak Suvim Lo Yatsa. It has to be special halachas of Ksiva. So we see, therefore, it is said Beruach HaKodesh Laksiva, not simply Lakriya. How could Shmuel go against all these Mishnahs, all these halachas? And so the Gemara, so Tosfos answers, Lechach nira lefarish dehod the kamar lo nitna lichasav beruach hakodesh on a deraisa level of a midirbana nitna lichasav ilikaros. In other words, all the halachas that has to be written a certain way, those are only dinei dirbanim. On a deraisa level, Shmuel says, and everybody else agrees, it wasn't written, it wasn't said beruach hakodesh to be written, only to be read, but the Rabbanan added on layer that should be written nonetheless, and all the halachas came along with that institution. So now the Gemara says, back inside, two medium wide lines down. Meisiver. Rabbi Meir Omer, Koheles Einu Metames Yadayim, Umachlokes B'Shir Hashirim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shir Hashirim Metames Yadayim, Umachlokes B'Koheles. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koheles Mekulei B'Shamim Machmir B'Shilo. Rabbi Shimon says, this is one of the examples where Shammai is Mekel, where he holds that Koheles is not Metames Yadayim, where Beis Hillel is Machmir, it is. How about Rus, V'Shiashirim, V'Esther, Metames Yadayim? So we see clearly here, that's Metames Yadayim, according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, how could Shmuel argue on this Mishnah, that everyone agrees that Esther is Metames Yadayim? So the Gemara says, Hu Damar Rabbi Yeshua? He holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who argues and says, that's not Metames Yadayim. The Tani, the Braisa says, further, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Koheles, so he felt that Koheles was said by Shlomo. It was his own personal chachma. If it's written when a person's own personal chachma, that's not Kisrei Kodesh, that's not Kol Ruach HaKodesh, and it's not subject to Tumas Yadayim. So Amrullah, they said back to him, V'chi Zubavad Amra, was this all he said was Koheles? And he said 3,000 mashalim. That's not humanly possible for a person to say on his own so many mashalim. It sounds like he was talking from a level of Ruach HaKodesh. Moreover, it says, you stop, Hashem said to Shlomo, okay, enough, stop writing all these mashalim. He wrote enough already. So what's the proof here? Maybe Einachnami, he said a lot of mashalim. Who said just because he had so much to say, so much to think about, who said it was all Ruach HaKodesh? Maybe Dibay Yechtava, Bidbay Lo Yechtava, he decided what to write, what not to write. So maybe this was taka from his incredible chachma that he had, and that's not a proof that he wrote Shlosha Lafim Mashal. Doesn't mean it was a Ruach HaKodesh. So rather, Tashma Al Tosev Al Dvarv. When Hashem says stop saying this, implies everything up until now, that was all Ruach HaKodesh. From this point on, it's a long Ruach HaKodesh. Don't write any further. So Chacham respond back to Koheles, in fact, was said Beruach HaKodesh. So we see this in Machlokas by the various Megillas, whether or not they're Metamis Hadayim, and whether or not it's said Beruach HaKodesh or not. So now the Gemara says, focusing in on Esther, Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemar. We're going to bring various rayas here, how the different Tanaim would prove that Esther, in fact, was written Beruach HaKodesh. How does Rabbi Eliezer know? Shenemar v'yomer Haman b'libo. Haman said in his heart. So how in the world would Megillas Esther know what he had said in his heart? Must be there's Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Kiva Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Shenemar v'ati Esther knows his chaim be'enei kol re'ah. Anybody who saw her fell in love with her. How would everyone know that? How would the Megillah know? It must be Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Meir gives a third proof. Rabbi Meir Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Shenemar v'ivad adavar leMordechai. And it was known to Mordechai. So how did they know what Mordechai knew about? How was it clear to him? It must be his said Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Yosi ben Durmaskis Omer, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemar, Shenemar, Uvabiza lo shalchu es yadam. Nobody took advantage of the spoils of war. How do they know? Maybe some guy, hid it in a way that nobody would know. The only way the Megillah could say this so confidently is if it was said Beruach HaKodesh. And Amar Shmuel came along, who was only in Amora, though, after the 4 Tanaim weighed in, Shmuel said his own shot, Ihava Hasim, had I been there with these Tanaim, I would have said, Hava Mina, Milsada Difa Mikula. I would have said a much better proof than all of them. Shenemar says, Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu l'mala, Masha kiblu l'mata. The Pasuk says that they're Makayim and they were Makabel. How does it mean? They're Makayim up above, what they're Makabel down below. So how would anyone know what took place up in Shemayim? It must be this who said Beruach HaKodesh. We happen to have this Shakletarya of Tanayim, like different contexts, if you place in Shas, and Shmuel actually, even though he's in Gemara, brought the best proof among all them. So the Gemara says that after these five great Tadikim weighed in, Amarava, Luchulu Isla Pirchu, all the suggestions actually have a flaw in them, Levar mid Shmuel, with the exception of Shmuel, the less they Pirchu. There's no question on Shmuel. Shmuel had a great proof. The Rabbi Eliezer, whose proof was that while Haman said Belibo, Svarhu, it's a sensible thing to say. It wasn't a crazy thing, it's a fair assumption. The Lahava Inish de Chashiv Lamalka Kavase, nobody was as important as he was in his mind. Vaiki Kamafish Tuvav Amar, and that which it says, Adait Dinafshi Kamar, that which he said that, when Achashverosh said, who should I, appoint, who should I show such cover to? And Haman said, oh, he should wear Levush Malchus, Hashir Levash Malmelech, he should go on a sus. That was only make sense if Haman thought that he was really the one being chosen. So it's not a crazy thing to suggest that Haman really thought Achashverosh was talking about him. That doesn't prove it was Ruach HaKodesh. The Rabbi Kiva, who said that Esther found favor in anybody who looked at her, so that was the Ruach HaKodesh Rabbi Kiva felt. So the Gemara says, Dilma, Rabbi Elazar, Damar, Melamed Shekol Echad Ve'Echad Nidmasalo Ki'umaso. No, people fall in love with people who are like them. You fall in love with people who grow up like you, who look like you, who come from the same nations, the same culture. So Esther had this unique look that she looked like anybody. She looked like she was from Madai or Persian or Israel, whatever it was. They had this unique look to her. So that's just because that was a natural thing that everybody understood. It wasn't because Ruach HaKodesh. This was just apparently the Metzius. And how did Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, Dilma, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Damar Bixan, Viser Shinshay Tarshim Hayu. They spoke in Tarshish, and they thought nobody understood, but Mordechai knew all the languages, all 70 languages. So that's how Mordechai knew, not because Ruach HaKodesh, he was able to see what was in their minds. He taka heard their conversation, and that was in the Ruach HaKodesh. And finally, had the Rabbi Yosi bar Durmaskis, who said, "Biza lo shalchus yadam." Nobody took from the spoils. Dilma pristike shadr. Maybe they sent out, messengers, and they did research, and they did proper research. You could ascertain this, and they're able to figure out that nobody stole. But Shmuel, vade lesa pircha. There is no question in pircha because there's no way to find out what went up in Shemaim unless it was said Beracha Kodesh. And Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hainu dam inchi, that's what people would say. Tova chada pilpalta harifta mimale tane kari. Better is one sharp pepper. A sharp pepper is so sharp is better than a full basket of gourds. That's the power. So Shmuel was one sharp pepper greater than all the great Tanaim before him. At least the guy with this particular drasha. Rav Yosef Amar Me'acha, he brought a final proof. V'mei Purim Ha'ela lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim. The celebration of Purim will never cease to be celebrated from the Yehudim. How could he know this? How could he guarantee that this will always be celebrated? Must be who said Beruach HaKodesh in the Pasuk. And finally, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Me'acha, Yitzchak Amar Me'acha, v'zicham lo Yosef Mizaram, and their memory won't remove themselves from their children, guaranteeing that will happen l'daros, also a reference to Beruach HaKodesh that existed in Megillas Esther. Now the Gemara says, the very bottom, last few lines of Amr Alf here, Matanos Levyonim. So Matanos Levyonim, the Gemara darshins, Tane Rav Yosef, Umishloch Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, which means is, Mishloch Manos, two Manos, Shtei Manos L'Ish Echad, you have to send two gifts to one individual. As opposed to Matanos Levyonim, which means Shtei Matanos L'Shnei Ben Yadim, two gifts to two people, which means the ratio of one to one, one gift to one person, and another gift to another person. That's the understanding. It's an interesting question they ask, so they saw that, why by Matanos Levyonim does it say B'nei Adam? You're supposed to give Matanos L'B'nei Adam. When it comes to Shalach Malos, we say Le'ish Echad. Why Ish by Shalach Malos and B'nei Adam to Matanos Levyonim? And the answer that explained is that because Shalach Malos, you person sends Mitzvah Eitan, who says this? This is said by the Beis Yitzchak explains that Shalach Malos you send to a friend, the person you know, the person you have a relationship with. So an Ish is the person you have a relationship with. As opposed to Matanos Levyonim, you send to people you don't know, and B'nei Adam, you send to some people that are random to you, and that's why B'nei Adam is used by Matanos Levyonim, because you don't know them, as opposed to Ish L'Re'ehu, Shalach Malos, you send to people that you do know. The Gemara then says further here, that Rabbi Yehuda Nisai Shadar Lei, Rabbi Oshaya, he sent a gift to Rabbi Oshaya. Atama de Igla Tilsa, he sent like a piece of leg of a cow, a very hush of cow, the third born to a calf, born the third calf born to a cow. It's a very fatty piece of meat. The garba de chamer, and a jug of wine. And Shalach Lei, Rabbi Oshaya sent back to Rabbi Yehuda, going on to now Amun Beis, Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu, Umishlach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. And some have the Girsim and Talos of Yonim, others do not. But he says, you fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manos because you sent two gifts to me. You sent me meat and wine, and that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. So now the Gemara says further that Rabba Shadar Lemar Bar Mar Biyad Abaye, he sent the following Shalach Manos in the hand with the messenger of Abaye. There happens to be a discussion that Mishnah Berurah brings down, the Bachman Yeshiva, very makbid on this, the Aruch Lener has a tshuva where he talks about, since it says Shalach Manos, you could only Mekayim Shalach Manos by sending a shliach. You dafka have to use a shliach. Shalach Manos, you have to send a shliach. You can't deliver it on your own. You must send the shliach. So this seems to be a raya. They sent it B'yad Abaye to fulfill the shlichas. So many are machmir and yeshiva to send to their roommates with another guy in between as a shliach. But this doesn't seem to be the general practice. People send their kids to go, but it doesn't seem to be necessary. But it's a discussion in the halach and the poskim nonetheless. Either way, he sent to Mari Bar Mar, Rabbo sent to Mari Bar Mar, in the hand of Abaye, Male Taska de Kashba, a basket full of dates, Umale Kasa Kimcha Davshune, some type of roasted flour. Amale Abaye, who is the Shliach, says to Rabba, Hasha Amar Meri, so now this is going to be Makabal Shach Manos, Ichakle Malka Leheve, Dukuli Mitzavar Lo Naches, the Ben Kfar, if the king sent this to a Ben Kfar, this type of food is not going to be good enough. Meaning, Rabba, you're Rosh Hashiva, you have to send something according to your wealth. So you're a Chashu Rosh Hashiva. For you to send a basket of dates and flour, that's not considered a good Shalach Manos. It has to go according to who's sending it. That's the Chashivas. If you're poor, okay, fine, this makes sense. But a guy is very wealthy, to send such a small basket, it doesn't make sense. So Hadar Shadilei Iyu. So then he sent back Mari Bar Mar sent to Rabba Mali Taska de Zangbile, sent a basket full of ginger, Umali Kasa de Pilpusa Aricha, and some long peppers. Amar Bai says, Hasha Amar Mar. Now they're going to say, Ana Shadile Chuya, I sent to you something sweet, Via Shadile Chufa, you sent something sharp. Because Rabba sent sweet things, and Mari Bar Mar said that which was sharp. Okay, so it wasn't equivalent to each other. But not sure exactly what the proof of, what the point is from here, but they just point out this is the different, different gifts that were sent. So Gemara now says, Amar Abaye says, Kinafke mi beimar. When Abaye left the house of his Rebbe, Rabba, to go send the gifts, Havei Savani, he was very full. Kimati lahasam, when he got to Mari Bar Mar to deliver the Shalach Manos, Krivile Shaitan Tsai. They brought 60 plates of food, the Shisin Mini Kdero, 60 different tastes of food, Vachli Bu Shisin Pluge, and 60 pieces of meat, Ubishila Basrayu, and some food afterwards, like a huge, incredible meal. Havakari Le, Tsile Kedar, it was called pot roasted meat. Ubai Lemiches Tsai Abasre, and it was so delicious, he wanted even to eat the plate afterward. That's how much it was so good. He was so full, but it was so delicious, he wanted to even eat the plate. So Amar Abai says, Hainu Dami Incha, that's what people would say. Kafin Ani Velo Yada. People are so hungry, so they don't even know how hungry they are, that they're so not used to it, they're not, they overeat. So Inami, alternately, Rav Chalav Besim Eshchiach, or means that there's always space for dessert. No matter how full you are, no matter how much steak and food you eat, and how much challah you eat, there's always going to be space for dessert. So that's what it meant, that even after eating all this food, he was able to have the sweets after all this. Okay. So then the Gemara says more about sending Shalach Manos to each other. Amar Abai Bar Abin, Rabbi Chanina Bar Abin, Mechalfei Sudesai Lahadadei, they would swap meals with each other. Different Pshatim why they would do this. Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi, he says, they'd have this arrangement. One year you eat by me, the next year I'll eat by you. That's pshat according to Rashi. Fine. The Ran says, no, it's referring to they are both anim, and they couldn't afford meals for other people, so they'd actually make a meal and send it to each other. This way they just really neutralize each other. They've mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manos, and also the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim. So Gemara now says, famous Gemara, Amar Rava, Mechai Vinish Lebusumi Bepuria, person has to get so drunk, Adilayada, Bein Ar Haman Levarach Mordechai, he has to get so drunk that he cannot distinguish between how Haman was cursed and Mordechai was blessed. If you look in the Tos on the top here, he adds in the Yushalmi, Arura Zeresh, Brucha Esther, Arum Kavisham, Brucha Mechai Yudim, he adds other distinctions between Zeresh and Esther and Jews versus the Rishon. How drunk does a person have to be? So some say you have to get mamish drunk, totally drunk, which is a strange thing. That's not how we practice. That's not how we keep Yiddishkeit. But Rashi says you do it nonetheless because it's Seicher the Nesim. Oh, the Nesim took place with Yayin, Achashverosh and Vashi. They got drunk. Every Maisa throughout the whole Purim was about Yayin. So therefore, this is a unique situation whereby a person gets drunk. Most Yishom say that a person should not get drunk. He should just drink a little bit more than he normally drinks, but not to get drunk. And the Rambam famously writes, brought down by the Ma, a person should drink enough so that he should take a nap, and that's what a person should do. So there's a beginning of taking a nap on Purim. Makes sense because the concept is we have Nadad Shnas HaMelech, where the king was sleeping, but finally the king awoke. It was referring to Achashverosh. Literally, he woke up in the middle of the night and he saw he was reading from the Divrei Hayamim to find that Mordechai was Odes Char. But it really means Nadad Shnas HaMelech, first of Kadosh Baruch Hu, was awaking from his slumber. So there's a concept to go to sleep and to wake up. But somehow it's Maorer the Geula. So the Gemara now says further. It says, Rabba Rabbi Zeira Avdu Sudas Perm, a very famous story. They had a Suda Perm together, Bahadeh Hadadeh. Ibsum, they got drunk. Come Rabba Vashach to the Rabbi Zeira. And Rabba got up and he shach to the Rabbi Zeira. Lamacha the next day, Bai Rachme, he daven, Vachile, and he brought him back to life. Lashana the next year, Amarle, Nisi Marvin Avid Sudas Perm, Bahadeh Hadadeh. Let's have Perm to Suda together again. Amarle, Lo, Bechol Shaita Vashaita Mishach Shanisa. We're not Zochat the Nes every single year. I'm not going to have Suda with you ever again. This is a fascinating mice of many things to talk about. One interesting thing, the Achronim point out that Rabbi Zeira is that Rabbi Zeira is a very, very serious individual. We find throughout Shas, he was very, very serious. He fasted 100 days when he left from Babel to go to Eretz Yisrael, that he should forget all of the Torah. He sat in the oven every single day to make sure that he wouldn't be subject to Gehenim to test himself. He did very, very serious things. So the Chassam Sofer explains, I think it's Chassam Sofer explains, that the reason why Rabbi shechted Rabbi Zeira, because we find in the Gemara Nida that Rabbi Yirmiya, who was a bar plugs of Rabbi Zeira, asked very strange questions all the time to Rabbi Zeira. Why? He once asked the question, what's the halacha if a woman gives birth to a cow, is that cow ishima tami tumas mesa, something strange like that. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yirmiya was trying to make Rabbi Zeira laugh. Did a little late sonnus. And Rashi explains that Rabbi Zeira is so makbid not having any late sonnus here. So Rabba, who also represented late sonnus, he would open up every shir, the Gemara says, with a bidichusa, with a joke. He appreciated late sonnus. Rabbi Zeira did not appreciate late sonnus. So this was like a clash between two different worlds. So Rabba tried getting him to laugh. And he says he got him to laugh. Rabbi Zeira actually laughed. Rabbi Zeira felt his whole life came crashing down in front of him, that he actually laughed. There was some late sonnus. He felt like he was shechted. He wasn't really shechted, but he felt like he was shechted because he really went over the top in allowing for some late sonnus on that perm. Okay, fascinating pshat. Gemara now says further, Amar Rava, Sudas Purim, Shach Lebalayla Lo Yatzer De Chavasa. A person eats a Suda at nighttime, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. My time, Yimei Mishav Simcha Ksiv. During the daytime, one fulfills the mitzvah, but there is no concept of eating at nighttime. Rashi, Hava Yosef Kameh, Rav Kana, Nagav La Asur Rabban. It was nighttime, the rabbis didn't come. Amrle, my time lo aser rabban. Why aren't they not coming? Dilma treated besudas perm. Maybe they're having a suit at night time. It's the leil perm. They should be coming to me. Why are they having a meal? So Amrle lahava efshel mechle bursa. Are they not allowed to eat at night time? Well, what's the wrong? Maybe they are having a suda. What's wrong with having a suda at nighttime? Amalei lo shmir lei lamar. Do you not know the drasha, the din? Ha damarava sudas perm sheachlo belayla liyatsu dechavaso. So I hope they're not busy with the suda at nighttime because there's no mitzvah at nighttime. They should be coming to me. Do you guess here or sheer? So Amalei in yes. Now I know this din. Thank you. I forgot about it. So Tana minei arban zimnin v'damilei kaman demarach bekisa. He taught him 40 times in a row. He chazered it. This statement until it was in his back pocket that he knew it ba'al peh. The new Mishnah tells us as follows. Now here we begin all the ein bein. Well, it really began the other day, but now is a continuation of all the ein beins. So the ein bein yomtiv l'shabbos el ochel nefesh b'vav. There's one difference between Shabbos and yomtiv, and that is that yomtiv you're allowed to do a heter ochel nefesh, but Shabbos you're not allowed to do heter ochel nefesh. Tosis points out here ein bein yomtiv l'shabbos tzarach lomer dehachi perusho ein shum melacha asur l'shabbos shlotei asur yomtiv ella ochel nefesh b'vav. Legabe melacha, the only distinction is ochel nefesh. Aval shar chilukim, other distinctions yesh beinam, there are other differences. Shezebeskila vezebelav, the punishments are very different. So this is referring to ein bein legabe melacha. The one difference is heter ochel nefesh. Says the Gemara further now. Ha leinyan machshir ochel nefesh, with regards to preparing ochel nefesh on yomtiv itself, zev zeh shavim, they're both equal in that you cannot do hechshir ochel nefesh, machshir ochel nefesh, only ochel nefesh itself, cooking, but to, let's say, make a pot, make a brand new pot or pan or oven on yomtiv, that's called machshir ochel nefesh, that would be aser even on yomtiv. And the last thing, our mission must be the lok Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda does allow machshir ochel nefesh on yomtiv. It says in the Braisa, Ein ben yomtiv l'shabbos el ochel nefesh, Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshir ochel nefesh, he even permits preparing food, or the stage before the cooking itself. My time in Tanakama, what was the reason that they don't allow machshir ochel nefesh? Amakra, who, the machshir, who, only ochel nefesh proper, but not any of the machshir ochel nefesh. Rabbi Huda's response back is, lachem, it says, you're supposed to do ochel nefesh lachem, lachem lechol tzorcheichem, anything that you need, that either means making food, or even making a pot or an oven, to help prepare the food, that's part of the extension of ochel nefesh, according to Rabbi Huda. Vidach nam yaksiv lachem, doesn't Tanakhama also have the word that lachem? What did lachem teach them? Lachem lo ov dechacham, you can only cook for yourself, but not for non-Jews. So there happens to be an interesting distinction here. A person is allowed to have non-Jews over for a Shabbos meal, but you can't have them over for a Yontif meal, because Shabbos you can't cook, so there's no concern of cooking for a non-Jew. But a Yontif, where you can cook for yourself, there's a concern if you have a guest as a non-Jew, you might cook for a non-Jew as well, and that's a real serious problem on Yontif. Lachem lo ov dechachavim, and lachem lo leklavim, you can't serve your cook for your animals either. Vidach nami haksiv hu, doesn't say who as well. Doesn't who seem to limit only ochel nefesh, not hechshir ochel nefesh, machshir ochel nefesh? So what does Rabbi Huda do with the word who? Who, ksiv lachem, it says lachem as well. So there's a stira. Who is limiting? Lachem is more inclusive. So the Gemara makes a distinction. Kan v'machshirim she'efshir la'asosim me'ev yamtiv. V'kan machshirim she'efshir la'asosim me'ev yamtiv. In other words, when Rabbi Huda allows machshir ochel nefesh on yamtiv itself, that's only that which would be impossible to have done erev yamtiv. But if there's something you could have done erev yantiv, that would not be allowed to override yantiv itself. So let's say you have a pot, and the pot works, and the pot broke on yantiv itself. You couldn't have known that yesterday. So now you need a pot to make your soup. There, Rabbi Huda would allow you to make a brand new pot on yantiv, let's say. But something that you should have known yesterday, that you need a pot, you ran out of pots, and you could have made it yesterday, and you did make it yesterday, erev yantiv, that you would not be allowed to make a yantiv itself. So Tosa actually points out something very interesting, something very important, halacha lemaisa. Even when it comes to ochel nefesh, which you're allowed to do on yontif, there's a machlokis 2 days in Tosas, and also brought down the poskim, is that any ochel nefesh you're allowed to make? But let's say you could have made something yesterday, and it would have been just as good erev yontif, if not better, so then can you also make that on yontif itself? So Tosas has one opinion that says, no, if let's say my food is actually better when it's 2 days old, if you could think of such a thing, it's actually, that would be usur to make on yontif itself. Only that which is better when it's fresh is allowed to be made on yontif. But that which is better when it's old or sitting for a while, that you cannot do on yontif. While the other opinion says, no, everything's allowed on yontif. There's no questions. Even though it would have been better yesterday, there's still a complete heter on yontif itself. New mission now. The last mission on the Amud here. Ein bein Shabbos le Yom HaKippurim, el shezeh zedona bide adam, vezeh zedona bekaris. The difference between Shabbos and Yomtif, there's an iser on both of them of all malachas, including ochel nefesh, but the difference is the punishment that one who violates Yom Kippur gets the punishment of karis, one who violates Shabbos gets bide adam, which of course is referring to skila. So Hali in Tashlumim Zevizeh Shaman. Legave Tashlumim payment, they're both equal. I mean, in terms of Tashlumim. So if a person, let's say, violates Shabbos, and he violates also, he ruined a person's property, so he's chayiv skila, and he's also chayiv mamon to a person, we have the concept called kimle bidirabim. Now you take the greater punishment. The greater punishment here is skila, and that exempts him from paying any monetary damages as well. So the Gemara learned from here, that would be true as well of Yom Kippur, that the punishment of kares would override any monetary damage he may have caused at the same time. So the Gemara says, "Halinun tashlumim zev zeh shavim." Money. Who is the author of the Mishnah that says kimei b'drabi minei applies equally to kares? It must be Rabbi Nuchunya ben Akanahi. The Tanya, Rabbi Nuchunya ben Akanahi, haya osa es Yom Kippurim kishabbos l'tashlumim. He equated the halachas of Yom Kippur to Shabbos with respect to having exempted the payment. Ma Shabbos mischay benafsho pater min tashlum. A person who did a violation that has two outcomes. One is, again, he's chayv skila for chil Shabbos, and he also damages someone's property. He's pater from tashlumim. So two af Yom Kippurim mischay benafsho pater min tashlum. A person who does the melacha, the kares overrides the chiv of tashlumim. So Gemara now says, Tzan Hasan, Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Maseches Pesachim tells us as follows. No, that's not Pesachim, it's actually Makos, I think. Yemakos. Tzan Hasan, Kol Chayave Krisos Shalaku Niftru Mide Krisasan. The person who does something bekaris and schayv kares, if he gets lashes instead, those lashes that are given to him by Bezdin actually exempts him somehow from kares. That's the din. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, Kol chayave krisos shel arayos hayu bechlal v'nichesu anefashos. All the arayos are subject to karis. So the din is, he gets karis for violating the arayos, but if a person gets malkos, those from Bezin anyways, malkos exempts him, frees him from karis. Shenamar, it says, v'nikla checha leinecha kevin shaloka harayu kachecha. When a person gets lashes, he becomes rehabilitated, he becomes achecha, he's completely clean of the karis, divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan says, Chaluk and Olav Chavei Rava al Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. His friends argue on him, and they say, not true, that's not the case, that a person does not get exempted from Karis through Malchus. So Amr Rava, Rava says, Amri Bei Rav Tanina, we have a Mishnah, Ein Ben Yom HaKippurim the Shabbos. El Shazez, Yidonim Yidde Adam, Vizez Yidonim Behe Karis. Vimis, if it's true, Yidde Behe Adamu. If it's true that Yom Kippur, which is Karis, but one could be exempted from Karis through Malkos, which is Bidei Adam, that means they're both subject to Bidei Adam. That's not a distinction anymore. Shabbos is Bidei Adam of Skila. Yom Kippur is also Bidei Adam, because Karis also can translate to Skila, which is Bidei Adam. So this shouldn't be a distinction anymore. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, no. Ha mani Rav Yitzhaki, the Amar Malkos b'chai the Krisos leka. No, he holds that there are no Malkos by Krisos. That's why this mission makes sense. The Tanya, Rav Yitzhak Omer, chayave Krisos bechlal hayu, v'lama yatzos Karis b'achozo, laduna b'karis. So we know that all the arayos have karis, but the pasuk singles out achosa, that one who's with achosa, arayos, would also get karis. Would also get karis. Why single her out? It's bechal all the other arayos. So the says Rabbi Yitzhak is to underscore that achosa only gets karis and malchus won't work. So to all the other arayos, only karis and not malchus. So ena chanami, Yom Kippur is not subject to bidyan. That's the answer of Rabbi Yitzhak. Rav Ashi says, and he finishes off the daf with this, Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tamer Rabbanan, even Rabbanan who hold that Malkos can substitute somehow for Karis. And it is called Bidei Adam. In the end of the day, Zet Iker Zidonah Bidei Adam, Zet Iker Zidonah B'Karis. The Iker punishment of Yom Kippur is Karis. Yes, there's a Bidei way to get exempt from Karis to Malkos, but that's not the Iker Onsha. The Iker Onesh is that of Karis, which is a Bidei Shemayim. Let's quickly recap what we did today. We spoke about the Drush of Shanis and Kol Shana V'Shana, how we know Ad Shani. And then we spoke about how Esther sent to the Chachamim that she wanted to have Megillas Esther part of it, and it says it's going to create incredible Eva, but nonetheless, she already wrote it in the books of Divrei Yom, Malchi Pras, and Omadai Pras. It's too late. Let's include it in the books of Tanakh. And then Gemara said they're based on drushas, forgetting the Eva. They were just a drusha. Only three times you could say it in the Torah, and Tanakh, not four times. So two different drushas, whether or not we count Bishalach and Kiseta as one mention or as two mentions, whether or not there is room to allow for Megillas Esther. That's Machlokas Tanaim. Then we saw a series of Machlokas about Shir Shirman and Koelis and Esther, whether that's Matami Adayim or not, which seems to be totally on whether or not these are considered Kisvei Kodesh or not. In the end of the day, it's Machlokas by Esther. It's also Machlokas by Koelis and Machlokas by Shir Shirman as well. And then the Gemara says, we brought four different Tanaim as we know how we know that Megillas Esther is written Ruach HaKodesh. Shmuel was a fifth pshat, And the Gemara says Shmuel's Prat was better than all the other ones because he had no question on his. And then the Gemara brought two other proofs from different Amorim where they proved as well that Megillas Esther is written by Ruach HaKodesh. Then we spoke at Shach Malos versus Matalos of Yonim. But Shach Malos is 2 to 1 person, and Matalos of Yonim is 1 to 2 different people, 1 to 1 and 1 to 1. And then the Gemara talks about different situations of sending Shach Malos to each other, switching story, Purim with each other, and the story of Rabba, Kam Rabba of Shach of Zera, the Din of Mechayvin Shle Besumim Bepuria Adilayada. And then we spoke about the din that a person cannot have the Suda Balayla, Suda must be by Yom, Yemei Mishnah, it says in the Pasuk. And then the difference between Shabbos and Yom, there's only the Gabi Ochel Nefesh Bavad. And then there's another machlok, is whether or not Machshir Ochel Nefesh can be Docha Yom Tef, that's machlok, because Yehuda says it can be Docha, Chacham says it cannot be Docha, and even if Yehuda who allows Machshir Ochel Nefesh to be Docha, it's only that which was Eif Shalasos in Erev Yom Tef, but that which could have done Erev Yom Tef, even he would agree you cannot be Docha Yom Tef. And then finally the Mishnah says the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Shabbos is Bidei Adam, Skila, Yom Kippur is Bidei Shemayim, which is Karis. And then about whether Tashlumim, Rabbi Nechudim and Akanya holds, the Gabri Tashlumim, they're both equal, that Kimna, the Rabbi Menei equal, is the same for both Shabbos and for Yom Kippur. And then finally, whether or not Malkos is going to exempt the person from Karis, that was Machlokas as well, and how to fit that into the Mishnah. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.